missing. In mineral kingdom, the scientists have got the point. That is what they say as the quanta, the quantum leap. There is no gradation. There is a sudden jump from one level of consciousness to another orbit. They call it orbit, they call it consciousness. Now this intermediate consciousness, the graded consciousness, the transitory consciousness between the mineral and the plant kingdom is gone. Similarly, another quantum leap from plant kingdom to the animal kingdom. And you remember, jantunam narajanma durlabham, man is a social animal. We are all animals, but the crowd, the transient peak, where but jump towards the divine is coming through man. So when you jump, the man is gone. Then those who are studying at that time, I don't know what they are going to read after the truth, but don't think that at truth consciousness, evolution stops. We are able to understand up to that. It is a continuous process. So then, the divine life will be again quantum life, a transitory period. But don't worry about that. It will be crores and crores and crores of years later. So this is what the third dream, a brighter, fairer and nobler life for all mankind. A new spirit of oneness will take hold of the human race. Oneness, we are one. Just as the psychic being controls this one, millions and millions of physical cells. We don't know about the vital cells, and we don't know about the mental cells. They are there. They are very concrete. That is what repeatedly Mother and Sri Aurobindo say, that everything is concrete. You can just lift it like this, even in the mental plane, the thoughts. So one mankind, that is our goal now at present. Another dream, we are taking part in it, the spiritual gift of India to the world. And the final dream is the step, the quantum leap from the animal to the divine. And remember, man is only a transitory period, a transitory being, he will not exist. He is only now the supreme in animals. So these are the five dreams you just said. 2 minutes, the prayer starts. This is mood setter.
Thank you.
This is the message of the Golden Jubilee of the Supramental Manifestation upon Earth, 1956-2006. This evening, which evening? 2000. This evening. Always remember, it is all these messages are eternity. You have to skip over that time consciousness. When Mother or Sri Aurobindo say something, it is a permanently set thing. But because they have to talk in the time consciousness, they say this and that. But for you, when you are reading it, that is this evening. Okay? So this evening, the Divine Presence, concrete and material, was there present amongst you. Are you feeling it? The concrete. Try to feel it. Even if you don't find it, feel it. Try to feel that Anandamayi, Chaitanyamayi, Satyamayi. So this Ananda and Chaitanya automatically becomes truth. That is what we are wanting. We are not praying here. It is your power to be transformed into that consciousness. The concrete and material, the Divine Presence, was there present amongst you. I had a form of living gold, bigger than the universe, and I was facing a huge and massive golden door which separated the world from the Divine. That is separating. In Upanishads it is said, Hiranmayena Patrena. So it covers the lid. And now that lid is not for the Rishi who wrote it. At that time it is only for the Rishis, because that continuous consciousness was not there. But since 1956, it is the entire earth, not only for human beings, but all the living things, including the planet Earth's consciousness. The massive door that is closing it, golden door. I was facing a huge and massive golden door which separated the world from the Divine. As I looked at the door, I knew and willed in a single moment of consciousness that the time has come. And lifting with both hands a mighty golden hammer, I struck one blow, one single blow on the door, and the door was shattered to pieces. Feel it. When you are meditating, you feel it. The golden lid of the psychic being, of our sthula, physical, vital, and mental consciousness. Every day you, that's all you have to do. And how many blows you have to give? One massive single stroke when you are sitting for meditation. And leave it. How to shatter and when to shatter, the psychic being and mother knows better than us. And lifting with both hands a mighty golden hammer, I struck one blow, one single blow on the door, and the door was shattered to pieces. For you there is the limitation, but that door is open. But that doesn't mean that we are being fixed or we are slow. The only thing is, the whole humanity has to rise. It is not you and I, you have to rise. Previously, the Rishis used to rise, individually. And there are five levels there. The Rishi, the Maharshi, the Rajarshi, the Brahmarshi, and then the Devarshi. Those who can bring down the Divine Consciousness, they are the Devarshi. And do you know the Devarshis? They are very friendly with both the Asuras and Suras. The Devarshi Narada, he was as free to go to Ravanasura or Hiranyakashipu or anyone, as free he is to move towards the Divine people. So that is the Devarshi Consciousness which we have to get. Because the Divine Being, the psychic being, the Divine Being has to be realized. So that character where you can include all, that is why par seva parupakari mehem, the par must become swa. Even now when we are praying, you are saying for par seva. I am not criticizing the song. It is not par, it is you. You are a part of the human kingdom. That brings the Divine Consciousness. So swaseva, swahupakar, even though when you are helping others. But don't change the world until you have the consciousness. But that is the goal. Then the supramental light and force of the consciousness rush down upon earth in an uninterrupted flow. Come in. Uninterrupted flow. This is what Bhagiratha prayed to Lord Shiva, Ganga flow. Non-stop flow. And from 1956, something happened where Lord Sri Krishna was born, Mathura. This stream of yajnas, that is the divine light coming down. It is flowing now, even now. That is why Sri Aurobindo says you have to do nothing in the meditation, but you have to flow in it, flow in the stream. And today, if I have the time, I will sing. But when I sing, it doesn't mean I am going to sing, because I feel everyone in this way. Whoever is singing, I am singing. That is the easiest way to sing, instead of trying and singing. But it will be a part of our narration of the divine life. And what now I am talking about, the life divine, when you translate it into Telugu, life means jivana, divine means devata. So the sadhana of life divine is nothing but jivan devata sadhana. That is why there is no religion. You remember, no religion still exists in this world. The first thing is you have to come out of the shackles of religion. Because once you feel that you belong to this particular religion, you are gone. That is why Sri Aurobindo repeatedly told, I am not creating a religion. And today you will see how we ask a mother to shatter the divinity to pieces which mother has built. And where did she build? She built it in the mental plane, concrete. You always remember, when a mother builds, the gurus build, it is not thoughts, they are concrete. And what she built in 1 year, she smashed in 1 hour for us. Because had she been there, had it been continued, and even now let us be very careful when we are doing it, never, never, never become an outer religion holder. You become the religion holder of your life divine. That is the message he says. Your life, your psychic being is your God, the innermost consciousness. So always remember this. No other state temples. Deho Devalaya Prokta. And I have shown you some pictures where all the divinities and all the 10 avatars are in our body. Do you know, today I heard a message from Andhra that a boar, boar in a pandente, the word is okay, pig, but I don't want to say it a boar, pig. It bathed in Godavari and it started rotating round the temple of Lord Venkateshwara, a white boar. And do you know what white boar is in your body? It is your medulla, medulla oblongata. And do you know what is medulla oblongata? It is the cycle of the sensory nerves and the motor nerves, what we say, the jnanendriyas and karmendriyas. If the motor is not there, if the chakra is not there, you can't work. So even the animals are doing it. And whenever a pig does anything, vara, aha, a good day. Vara means good, aha means day. Don't think it is a pig. And Sri Aurobindo wants us to understand the cow. And he gave 176 meanings for the cow in all the 49 gradations of consciousness. The physical cow has got its own place. So this religion, what I am talking about is this religion, where you are the embodiment of all gods and avatars. You are, you have been trained for that. That is where the animal consciousness has got this human consciousness, the transient consciousness. And slowly and slowly and slowly all the divine ingredients are placed in the body. But we are not conscious of it. So this is our temple. Our body is our temple. The Jivan Devata. That is what we have to practice. How to practice? Your Devata decides. Your divine being, your psychic being decides. So with this background, we continue what we are reading. No, which lens? Nothing is working. Don't worry, no lens is working properly. This is what we are reading yesterday. Just go down. We have finished it? No, they will tell where to stop. Come down. Okay. 165 page. 166? Should it be lifted up or coming down? Coming down. Slow, slow, let them read. You don't talk, let them decide. They are deciding, right? Siddhidi, November, right, now I remember. Where is it? Bring November, bring down. Still down. It's okay, bring down the Siddhidi, still down. Still down. That is it. Now we remember, we stopped there, 24th November, and luckily the mother's message came. I don't say luckily, we deserve it. And when you deserve it something, you won't say luckily, we deserve it. So the 24th November 1926, now it is one of the surprising discoveries in the study of the life and work of Sri Aurobindo and the mother, that another avatar, Krishna, has been present and embodied on the earth from 1924 to 1950 in the body in the Aadhara of Sri Aurobindo. So now, from that day onwards, mother, Sri Aurobindo and another divine consciousness, Sri Krishna, has also joined. So it has become three. So the two have got one free, Krishna. Among the gods, this is very crucial. You have to utilize your intuition, these lines. Among the gods who had been unwilling to take up terrestrial body was Shiva. At that time, on 24th November, Sri Aurobindo asked it. All the divine gods, because the overmind has decided. So, because it is our goal first to make the entire humanity divinity, he said, let the divine people come. Sri Krishna said, I will come into your body. And other gods, just as when Rama was born, so many devatas were born in different bodies of that time. But Shiva said, no, I won't come now. As the mother later told, Shiva refused. And when you say refusal, don't think of a refusal. There is an understanding refusal. They know what they are talking about. They are divine things and they are not talk like us, that you ask and I say no. So that consciousness you should be in, it's not, you will misunderstand Shiva. How dare that he says no to Sri Aurobindo and Krishna combined? And all the devatas? No, he said. My work is latter. Shiva refused and said, no, I will come when you have finished your work, not in a world like it is now, but I am quite willing to help. Do you understand? Now, naturally, after 1956, Shiva must start his dream. Search for him. Next. The overmind in the person of Krishna, having established itself in matter, the mother now started to work out its possibilities without delay. And now you remember, it is like what is that known as Shilanyas. The 24th of November was a Shilanyas. Now the construction starts. Be very careful about the words I am using. Now the construction starts. And mother started it. Immediately, without any delay. The overmind in the person of Krishna, having established itself in the matter. So what is overmind? Krishna consciousness. So Gita was so important for Sri Aurobindo's much of his overmental, up till overmental work. Till overmental work. He has done all the yogas. So you don't say Krishna is the flute bearer and the chakra bearer. And there is a tug of war, verbal war, not tug of war, but a verbal war between Theosophists and Sri Aurobindo on this particular point. They say there are two Krishnas. Theosophists say there are two Krishnas. Why? Because we only see two Krishnas. One is who plays Murali and one who handles chakra. And they never met. So they said there are two different consciousness. That is where we have to be very careful about the organizations we go and read. We read what they say, but you utilize your truth consciousness. Why there should be two? Cannot the Murali consciousness jump into the chakra consciousness? Why two bodies? You understand the weak point there. Weak, not in a weak point, but maybe physically it is right also, because the Murali Krishna was never played Murali again when he left Vrindavan. So this truth consciousness, whenever we are talking about, because we have to go to these organizations and collect the people and move them at different levels. It is not that we have to sit idle. You see the development of the Sri Aurobindo Ashram. On the Siddhi day, there were 24 persons. 24 persons. There is a meaning in the 24, the 24 letters, the 24. And there is another place where you have 24 idols, murtis, located in a particular place. That is what I am referring to the Brahma Vachas of Parampuja Gurudev at Haridwar. 24 idols. And you remember one particular thing in Mahabharata. The Guru, the consciousness which is alive, becomes more powerful in idols. The truth you have to understand. Why? Dronacharya taught Arjuna, promising that he will make him the greatest archer. But who became a greater archer than Dronacharya? Ekalavya. Who taught him? The idol. That is why I say the ideal and intentions. Always remember, every work you are doing, you should know the intention. Every work you are doing, if I put it in my hand now like this, I have an intention. I am not telling you. Don't take it seriously. I just don't want to be serious, because though we are talking something serious, it is as humorous, if you can understand. So if you keep the hand like this, you also. Okay. I have also, so don't worry. We three are together, that is that. So this intention has an ideal. Ideal means I deal with it. You understand the spelling. I deal with it. So if the intention you can deal with, it becomes an ideal. Because someone asked a Guruji, I find God nowhere. I don't find any God nowhere. Again the Guru said, what did he say? What is that? I don't find God. Nowhere. Just put the W here. Nowhere. The W comes here. Now here. That is what you are saying by saying nowhere. You understand the concreteness of the world. The world completely changes its meaning. Just putting the concreteness into the world. Nowhere becomes now here. So the idols, there on the Siddhi day there were 24 persons, there are 24 idols with all the yantras, words in that. And now we have to go through it, we have to try to understand it. But all this you should remember that you are not doing. This physical consciousness, your ahankara is not doing, the psychic being is doing. So, I had started a kind of overmental creation to make each god come down on a human being. That is what she planned, mother said. All the gods, and the gods number is always 33 crores. That number has got its own importance. And accidentally, our population was also very similar to that at those times, not now. So, from 24th November 1926, mother started a kind of overmental creation to make each god come down in a human being. I had willed to express a whole new world of superhuman reality. Everything was prepared in a subtle dimension and was waiting to be precipitated on it. You imagine that, what mother has done and what work and force you have to put it. Even in a simple physical concrete world, to build a house, you get so much different difficulties and troubles. Understand, I am talking about the concrete building of the world, of the home, house, concrete building. And she is building a concrete, overmental creation. Can you understand the difficulty? How many times it becomes more difficult? God, you think it is easy. No, it is more difficult to make it concrete. Thinking is very easy. Even we can think that we are descending all the gods, but nothing concrete will be there. But mother has done it. See what problem she has to face. I had willed to express a whole new world of superhuman reality. Everything was prepared in a subtle dimensions and was waiting to be precipitated. And once it is there, once the concrete thing is there, it comes down automatically. Sri Aurobindo said, the inner being of every man is born in the ansha of one devata or the other. Now how could she do that overmental creation? Because Sri Aurobindo said, all of us have a part. We are an ansha of the divine. So basing on the guidelines Sri Aurobindo has given in that statement, can you catch the guideline? How you have to work for concrete overmental creation? There is a guideline. Let us not discuss it. And let me be honest, I also don't know. That is why I am not discussing. But there is a guideline there. One day, I follow it very carefully. One day I went as usual to relate to Sri Aurobindo what has happened in the course of the day. Course of the day, what happened towards the overmental creation. We had arrived at something really very interesting, and I may have shown some enthusiasm in my relation of what had happened. So she was discussing with Sri Aurobindo about the overmental creation of the divine beings being created on physical human beings. And she was very enthusiastic. Sri Aurobindo then looked at me and said, yes, it is a creation of the overmind. He accepted it. What you are doing is a creation of the overmind. It is very interesting. It is very well done. Be careful. Whenever a guru says you have well done, see what happens. You will work miracles which will make you famous throughout the world because of the governmental creation. You will be able to turn the events of the earth upside down in a world. When the overmental comes down, a world is in us. We can change everything in the world. And he smiled. Now the danger comes. And said, it will be a big success. But it is a creation of the our mind, however great it may be. And what we want is not success. We want to establish the supermind on the earth. One must be capable of renouncing an immediate success to create the new world, the supramental world in its integrality. With my inner consciousness, I understood immediately, a few hours later, the creation did not exist. What a loss to all of us. One must be capable of renouncing an immediate success to create the new world, the supramental world in its integrality. With my inner consciousness, I understood immediately, a few hours later, the creation did not exist anymore. And from that moment onwards, we have started again on a different basis, on a different plane. We had tried to do it, the descent of the supramental from above through the mind and the higher vital. But it could not be because the sadhaks were not ready to fall. Their lower vital and physical refused to share in what was coming down or else misused it and became full of exaggerated and violent reaction. That is the problem they face. Overmind creation she has done and it will come down and a tremendous miracle will happen and we will be a great success. He said, no, remove it. She removed it. Then the problem comes. The supramental power has to descend. And then what is clogging? Our vital and physical body. That is clogging. You always remember. All the above is okay. Our vital and our physical bodies are the obstructions. A point of increasing importance seems to be the role of the others in the process of transformation. Paraseva, parupakarineham. Then we say to the others, you don't try to criticize. It's okay. So paraseva, parupakar. He got his train to catch. He's going. So when we say parseva parupakar, your vital, the physical, seva, the vital, upakar. When you practice this to others, your obstructions go away. You remember that always. So every day you must say what upakar have done. But when you do some upakar so that you can get back something, then it is not an upakar, it is a basis for getting something. A business actually. I am helping you, therefore you help me later. Don't do that. That is where I am asking to form a group. What have you done for the vital being to be purified? What upakar you have done? That is why I asked you to rise to the earth, just as mother used to do in her younger days, and will sankalpa that you are curing the physical, vital and mental illnesses. Nobody knows who is doing it, so it is automatically becomes your upakar. And you also don't know whom you have cured. That's why what I am asking you is so important. And when you say the entire planet Earth, you are developing your consciousness also to the entire Earth. Every night you do that. And in the daytime, Akhandabha. This is seva. It's service. And that is upakara. This is what the others. A point of increasing importance seems to be the role of the others in the process of the transformation. As later told by mother, this exactly is the problem which confronted Sri Aurobindo here and myself in France. nothing killed. She is not talking about India. She is talking about France. And where are Sri Aurobindo and mother? I think they are in France, especially in Paris. Where are they physically? In India, in Pondicherry. So that jump of consciousness in earth consciousness, wherever you want to be, you be. This exactly is the problem which comes from, why France, later when I talk about the importance of 2012, why I am taking this class so seriously and asking people to come together. Because 2012, in Paris, something is going to happen, which will decide if we as human beings jump into the quantum leap. If we will jump, but what about the entire humanity? Can we do that? That's why this is important. The problem they face, this exactly is the problem which confronted Sri Aurobindo here and myself in France. Does one have to delimit the work of the integral transformation? And now, this particular one, Sri Aurobindo worked in India, Pondicherry. Where did mother work before she met? France. The dual avatar. Later, Sri Aurobindo in 1950 left the physical plane and mother worked in Pondicherry. Those correlations of happenings, you have to understand, then you really understand the totality of their combined work. And they had to work. Now we have to work. Once they first reach the goal and then take up the rest to begin the work of the integral transformation. Or does one have to advance progressively, leaving nothing aside and eliminating nothing from the way, taking up all possibilities at the same time and progressing on all points at the same time? You got the problem? You understood the problem? There are two problems. You reach there, you become a PG, then become a teacher. That is a normal human solution. That is exactly what they were also doing. Sri Aurobindo did her work in France. Mother has done. They met in 1920. They could realize each other. They merged into each other. And they started working. And now, after the Siddhi day, there the over-mental thrill was conquered. Now the point came to bring down the supramental. Now they had to decide. Should we reach the supramental plane and then come down and teach? As the avatars do, avatara means anything. You go to the higher level and come down and teach how to go to the higher level. Or, why I am stressing it so much is, if you understand this, we can do our work very thoroughly. Together we can do, this is what we have to do. First reach the goal and then take up the rest to begin the work of the integral transformation. First reach that goal and do it. No. Does one have to advance progressively, step by step, leaving nothing aside and eliminating nothing from the way? You remember, don't eliminate anything. You have to include it. All yogas and all asuras, all rakshasas, all pishachas have to be included. It is easy to eliminate and go. Leaving nothing aside and eliminating nothing from the way, taking up all possibilities at the same time, and progressing on all points at the same time. Including all, but progressing. Not an individual progress, but a together progress, collective progress. Taking up all possibilities at the same time and progressing on all points at the same time. In other words, does one have to withdraw from life and action till one has reached one's goal, becoming conscious of the supramental and realizing it in oneself? Or does one have to embrace all creation and progressively advance together with all creation towards the supramental? Got the point? Generally, we like the first step. And our education system also is based on that. You read, you become an engineer, then teach engineering. Become a doctor, then teach. That is a normal process. But the truth consciousness is not the process. The change comes. This was the first question that arose when I met Sri Aurobindo, remembers the mother. Should we do an intensive sadhana withdrawing from the world, that is to say having no contact with others anymore, arrive at the goal and thereafter deal with others? Or should one allow all those others to come who had the same aspiration? Let the group form itself naturally and spontaneously. That is the operating word. The group should be naturally and spontaneously. And march all together towards the goal. The two possibilities were there. The decision was not a mental choice. Therefore you are not supposed to decide. Not at all. Quite naturally, spontaneously, the group formed and asserted itself as an imperative necessity. No choice had to be made. That's how Sri Aurobindo's ashram started. And you have our own groups, our own friends, depending upon where you stay and the ability to easily contact. So that is what they have followed. That is the path we have to follow. Next. The four primordial powers of light, truth and life and bliss. The four fundamental powers of light, truth, life and bliss. These are the basic four. And now you always remember what Sri Aurobindo always used to say. Everything of truth consciousness is in an atom also, in the inconscient atom also. The only thing is that it is realized. And we are trying to realize. So, in Savitri, he took over a legend. A legend is something which everybody knows. And he made it a symbol of truth consciousness. So there are four legends, Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma. We make it the symbol. You don't worry what the Purana says or that says. They are all of them over-mental symbols or legends. So light, truth, life and bliss, these are the four which in the beginning when even the supramental plane and above other planes were there, where the mother was there, the world mother. The symbol of that world mother is of course the mother and of course the mother for Sri Aurobindo. These four separated from the one in their consciousness and thereby became as it were its counterforces as the lords of light, lord of darkness, truth, the lord of falsehood, life, the lord of suffering and bliss, the lord of death. This we should always remember. Always we will be coming across these what we say, the separated consciousness and the joint consciousness, which joins with that power, we call it as light, truth, life and bliss. And those which are separated, we call it as darkness, falsehood, suffering and death. These are known as asuras. Asuras means which are not divine. Naturally, they are not divine. The four asuras, the big four, have brought forth, so to speak, cascades of lesser beings who are intensely active on the lower levels of creation. Removing these four asuras from the planet Earth transforms the whole universe. Be repeatedly aware of this statement. So that is our goal. Everywhere, every intention you have to deal, then it becomes your ideal. Why? To remove these cascades, all these great asuras, they have created, just as the overmental creation and the supramental creation and the mind creation, you have the creation of the asuras also. The mother and Sri Aurobindo dealt with the big four. That's why they are sure that we can tackle it, because the real source is gone. The foundation for these asuras is gone, because it is the foundation, the big asuras. They have removed it. And now, that is where I say, everything you do in your body, some asura, some darkness, may be making you to do that act. Or maybe the light making you to do that act. You have to decide. That's why every moment is yoga, that is all life is yoga. There is a change. And your life is certainly different from the other. So you can't say a hard and fast rule. So no religions at all. Your life is your divine life. You reach it by yourself. You reach it by yourself. And all the human beings, if they reach the human level, they have to reach divine level. They have to reach by their own way. No religions can help them. Far below the asuras are the rakshasas, beings of the lower vital. To satisfy their insatiable hunger, they prey on all possible kinds of embodied and unembodied forces and feed on them. At the bottom of the hierarchy of the pisachas, the little gruesome people, finding their vicious pleasures in anything, in the annoying little tricks they can pester themselves and the humans, with making our lives into an uninterrupted affair of unease, dissatisfaction, and restlessness. Uninterrupted affair of disease. It is written unease, but I am saying disease. Uninterrupted diabetes, BP, cancer, uninterrupted disease. And if you know how to tackle this, instantaneously you'll be good. That is the promise Sri Aurobindo has said. If you know how to do that, that is what I want all of us to join together, so that a few of us can realize that, how to give the break of that uninterrupted affair of disease. In natural it gives dissatisfaction, restlessness. The world will be cured of these three diseases which the doctors are not able to face. They can just, what we say, just make you bear it. The diabetes or the BP or the cancer, they'll just make you bear it. That is what I want our group to work together. And suddenly came the breakthrough on 16th August 1935. Again the birthday comes. And that is why, if a divine personage like Sri Aurobindo's birthday is important, what about your divine life? You came on that day on this planet Earth. And do you doubt that you are not divine? And if you don't doubt it, your birthday is also equally important. As important as August 15th is important for Sri Aurobindo, your birthday has to be important. And then you feel, no, I can't be such a great man. You have to be. That is what Sri Aurobindo said. You have to become divine. So you remember it. Your birthdays are very important. So on birthdays, each massive step you take will happen. Go back into your past birthdays and find out what happened. Certainly something must have happened. We are not aware of it because we are not conscious of this type of goal the birthday has. But now, this coming birthdays, be very careful. And then many people, when I was talking about this, they said, but my birthday was in November, and let us say he says November 24th, that's his day, his birthday. And now I will have to wait for 1 year. What did I say? Your birthday comes every month. Is it not? Every month the birthday comes. So be careful about that. I'm not saying being careful means you fear. But the joy and bliss that you have done this much in this month, there the vital and the physical obstructions are removed for the downflow, which is already happening like a cascade since 1956. You have to be open to that. So every birthday of every month, you will find it out. But it is really happening because it is a continuous process. The psychic being doesn't wait for you. Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacharjuna. Everyone of us many lives. But Krishna knew all those lives. And when I say Krishna knew, all yogis know about their past lives. We don't know our past lives. But that doesn't mean that we were not born many times. Got the point? So that tenacity, that determination, that every month my birthday I will be aware how far I could move in removing the blocks. You have to do nothing. Surrendering means remove the blocks. The flow is always there. And now, On 16th August 1935, the day following his birthday, we read, "I am traveling forward like a flash of lightning, that is to say zigzag, but fiery fast like very Einstein, I have got the mathematical formula of the whole affair." A mathematical formula, what does it mean? You can use by anyone. If it is a philosophical formula or an emotional formula or a mental formula, and then you have to get to the but a mathematical formula. Even for Einstein, 2 and 2 is 4. And of course, for us, 2 plus 2 is 4, not 2 and 2. Try to understand the difference. A multiplication? But the answer is 4. Got the point? So Einstein mathematical formula for supramental descent is there. You know the mathematical formula? Einstein, E is equal to mc squared. There is a mathematical formula which Einstein has discovered from the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Jyatum, Drashtum, Praveshtum. What in Gayatri Mantra you say, Vidmahe Dhimahi Prachodaya, that is the formula, the word. You put before anything, it goes in, you will understand Vidmahe. When you use that formula, Vidmahe, and you put something, some words, for all devatas we have words, but in the end, first line, Vidmahe, that is the formula. Then, Dhimahi, it should go into your brain. And then Prachodayat, work for others. That is the formula, the Einstein formula is the Gayatri. Like a very Einstein, I have got the mathematical formula of the whole affair, unintelligible as in his case to anybody but myself, and I am working it out figure by figure. That is what we have to do every day, figure by figure. It is necessary for you to be conscious and to put your self-observation before us. Now, why I am insisting on this, and I want you to write what Sri Aurobindo says we are following. It is necessary for you to be conscious of what is happening and put your self-observation before us. He is telling me, before us means before Sri Aurobindo and Mother. It is on that we can act. Don't say he knows, I need not tell. A mere action on our observation without any corresponding consciousness in that part of the sadhaka would lead to nothing. That is the problem. That is what we are trying to do. We are not doing something what Sri Aurobindo has not asked us to do. He has specifically asked us to do that every day. This consciousness and that consciousness at the night. And throughout the day, whenever you find possible, the intention or the actions that are happening and how am I to deal with it. And don't be very serious about it. Everything you need not. But certainly something unexpected happens, something which generates emotion in you. Take over those instincts. Because surely the vital body has vibrated, take like that. And any physical suffering or any pain, take those intentions and you deal with it, that is ideal. And record it. And when you put it, and don't try to put before Sri Aurobindo's photo, he is always there, he is also inside you. At least be sincere about the feeling that we are being guided. So when you write it, you are being guided, be aware of it. How to deal with it? Your egoism should not deal with it. The downflow should deal with it. That is the ideal intention. It is necessary for you to be conscious and put your self-observation before us. It is on that we can act. A mere action on our observation without any corresponding consciousness in that part of the sadhak would lead to nothing. It is an undoubted fact through now. This is our booster dose. When you practice this daily, you will find instantaneous transformations. Instantaneous means the moment you are saying it, the change will come. That is what he is telling. It is an undoubted fact proved by hundreds of instances that for many the exact statement of their difficulties to us is the best and often, though not always, an immediate, even an instantaneous means of relief. The guarantee. But use it. Don't say he knows he is guiding it. Because he mentioned that you should be aware the blocks in your vital and physical body, the diseases. And again you have to remember the light, the four, I am talking about the asuras, the darkness, the falsehood, the death, and
suffering.
This is the blocks. Wherever you find it, wherever there is a darkness, wherever there is a suffering, wherever there is a falsehood, and wherever there is a death. And every day, thousands of your cells die, literally. When you bathe, many cells die. So don't ask me, where is death? So when you are bathing, if you are conscious of the death of the cells, you can start a beauty parlor where mother becomes 18-year-old. The immortality I am talking about. Don't take my joke seriously, because I feel so emotional that I want to come down. That's why I use those as a means of check to me. And you can check me also, but don't check me in a negative way. It is an undoubted fact proved by hundreds of instances that for many the exact statement of the difficulties to us is the best and often, though not always, an immediate, a few days, even an instantaneous means of release from those sufferings, falsehood, death and darkness. Much later, she said confidentially about herself to Satprem, "I don't know if I ever told you, but there has always been an identification of the consciousness of body with all revolutionary movements. That is what we have wanted." Whenever a mother says something, you don't think she is just telling something casually. Even we don't talk casually. And you think those who are in the supramental descent level, they talk casually? And that is why I use the name of to whom she is talking. She is saying Satprem. I don't know the human body she is talking about is Satprem. But she is talking to all the Satprems, truth consciousness lovers. That is the real Satprem she is talking to. We are all truth conscious lovers, we are all Satprems. And I am not just trying to adjust ourselves. No, we are Satprems, but we are not still purely aware of it. This is what we have to do. I don't know if I ever told you, but there has always been an identification of the consciousness of this, her body, with all revolutionary movements. I have always known and guided them, even before I heard of them. In Russia, in Italy, in Spain and elsewhere, always, everywhere. And it always was essentially the same force which wants to hasten the coming of the future. The power which is cascading down, just like the Ganga Avatarana, the truth conscious Avatarana. It is there, you just put yourself into it. You will be thrown away with a terrific force into the correct ocean of truth consciousness. You will feel it. But which has to adopt the means of action to the state in which it is. But wherever the revolution happens, even though it is motivated by the truth consciousness, depending upon the people and the nation and the place that revolution has to take place, the approach is different. But only differences, if you can find the line of truth, Sutre Manigana Iva, you are Satprem. But don't identify with this physical Satprem. Identify with the truth consciousness. The people in the ashram are an epitome of the world. Now you get the relationship between these two, what she said there and what she is telling now. People in the ashram are an epitome of the world. Each one represents a type of humanity. If he is king, if he is... Okay, if he, the language, some typing mistake. If he changes, we remove ease. If he changes, it means a victory for all who belong to his type, and thus a great achievement for our world. Whom are you going to change? Mother was changing us. Who are you going to change? Yourself. You are a type. If he changes, that type is changed. So you are the source, the center for the change. So concentrate on yourself. Concentrate on yourself. Integral yoga, as one can gather from many sayings of Sri Aurobindo and the mother, is not a path for people soft of mind or conscience. And when Sri Aurobindo and mother are telling it, take it very seriously. If you feel that you are very soft, maybe you are a software engineer, but you should be the hardware engineer also. So the softness must be removed from yourself. It is a fight with yourself. That is the problem. If you want to fight with others, okay, but every minute of your consciousness you are fighting with your subtle, and subtle means I mean the vital and the physical problem. And you have to remove it. Be aware of that. It is a yoga requiring the temperament of the heroic warrior. It is very easy to fight on others, and it is very difficult to fight with yourself. Without heroism, man cannot grow into the Godhead. Courage, energy and strength are among the very first principles of the divine nature in action, wrote Sri Aurobindo. The mother wrote after his passing away, to follow Sri Aurobindo in the great adventure of his integral yoga. Remember, repeatedly they are telling it is a great adventure, and are we learning in that spirit? Are you feeling that you are doing a great adventure? And remember, the great adventure is in their words. Even when you do something adventurous, can you find the zeal, the heroism in which we act? And they are saying it, that this is a great, that feeling. You get it. You get it if you try it. As simple as that. Every day in the morning you say, yeah, I am facing a great adventure today. See where you are facing that great adventure. What is the adventure? Remember the block thought? Vital. Do you remember this always? If not, we will go in another direction. We are not going and doing an adventure somewhere else and showing people that we are warriors. We are fighting with our yoga. Remove the obstacles. Where am I telling? The mother wrote after his passing away, that is after 1950. To follow Sri Aurobindo in the great adventure of his integral yoga, one needed always to be a warrior. Now that he has left us physically, what is he telling? Is she telling something which gives us a boost? When Sri Aurobindo was there, we are warriors. But now what are we? And who is a hero? Who succeeds? Is it not? In the film Heroes, he has to succeed in the end. And that is what mother is telling, you are a hero now, you are not a warrior. So don't think whether you will fail, you will never fail. Impossible, those obstructions are removed. That is what she meant by these words. We never understand what they are talking about. They are very, very serious words. To follow Sri Aurobindo in the great adventure of his integral yoga, one needed always to be a warrior, you have to fight. But now that he has left us physically, one needs to be a hero. A very simple goal cult. There has never been at any time a mental plan or an organization decided beforehand. Be very, very, very careful in your daily life. Don't plan how you are going to live that day. But you plan for your office work and how you have to catch the bus. You have to plan it, if not you will miss the bus. She's not talking about that plan. Don't plan how you are going to understand where the vital and physical obstacles are coming. Don't plan it. If you plan it, it is a drama. Because the vital body is a great dramatist. You see, planet, you can see that it happens like that and you succeed, and you will feel happy that you have succeeded. But what you have exactly done is, you have fallen into the trap of the mental. Don't plan. There never has been at any time a mental plan or an organization decided beforehand. Organization also. To which organization you belong is not important. For this heroic war where we are sure to succeed, individual heroic war. But you have a plan for the organization. You do some program. Okay. And now you don't say that because Sri Aurobindo has said don't plan, I won't plan anything. He is only talking about this plan every day. The whole thing has taken birth, grown and developed as a living being. Our living being has taken birth, grown and developed as a living being by a movement of consciousness, constantly maintained, increased and forfeited. It is not for ordinary mortals. And he wrote, this path of yoga is a difficult one and it can be followed only when there is a special call. Did you get a call? You got a call? Yesterday you received any call? A special call? No? If not the call is, why are you sitting here? You try to understand that. That is where the obstructions, I'm not criticizing you. That is how our thinking is wrong. Got the point? When Sri Aurobindo says a special call, and you are hearing this, that it needs a special call, what Sri Aurobindo has said, to whom he is telling? In 1940s or 1938 you said, other good, but to you. Remember that. The special call is for you. And the obstruction is your vital and physical. Remember it. Remove it. This moment, you will be free. You are a specially called person. And a call is coming for me also and for you also for a 10-minute break. At 7:15 I will come back.